If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I feel it. We've been talking about it, but it's actually starting to come together nicely. We've got a nice mix of tweets and calls and topics that people are interested in. It's building. I like it. And you know what they say? If we build it, well, you know. Anyway,
they'll destroy it eventually? Well, is that the, no, that's not the quote.
I mean,
if we build it, they will come.
Ah, thank you for Baseball Movies 101.
There you go.
So as we continue this dialogue about the Jess Mendoza story, Ben, you want to chime in on idiot Astro minor league player in your mind. So I got an idea which way you're going with this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's such an idiot because he's so unaware of where we are as a society right now with people being so overly sensitive towards things like this. But you got to realize that when you go to social media and people pay attention to this, that you can't put an opinion like this out there, not because he doesn't just like a broadcaster on a broadcast, but the only one he doesn't like because she's a female and she has no place being there because she's a female. You got to understand there's going to be some backlash to this. I mean, you got to also be worried about this because he's so unaware of the fact that this is going to happen, or he's just negligent and doesn't care when you're in the Astros organization and you're trying to evaluate this kid, not for his physical aspects, but also how aware he is mentally of not only the game, but the world.
Yeah, I think that's what Barry and I were saying, is the fact that, you know, if you just said this with your buddies at the bar, it'd be one thing. But when you take the time, and it goes back to, you know, and some of you guys were tweeting, it goes back to Herm Edwards when he was doing that kind of public
send
videos on ESPN where he's talking to, if he was talking to a team, don't hit send.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when I was working in professional sports, the one thing that they always told us is, when you have a sensitive moment or a angry moment and you want to send that out, after you write that tweet, read it 3 times and then have at least 2 of your friends and family members read it as well before you hit send. And in most cases, don't hit send anyway, because it's not worth it. But this guy obviously doesn't have that kind of circle around him, because this is, he just wasn't thinking.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, even us, like, doing what we do, we have to be careful. And I'm a comic, so it's weird. Like, I have this gray area, and being a comic, sometimes comics get a little extra liberty in what they say, because, well, I was making a joke, and sometimes jokes are going to offend people, but I'm just a comic. But I still try to be sensitive about what I say a lot of times. I mean, sometimes I may cross the line a little bit, but it's for the joke, as opposed to this guy's just being misogynistic. I mean, he's not making a joke at all. Disco Biscuit had a good point, too. He said, do you really want someone on your team who was so stupid they don't know that this tweet is a bad idea? It's a great point. Like, how do you not comprehend that it's a dumb tweet? Right. I just don't get that. We also got a text real quick that somebody chimed in from 713 and said, how much of the MLB shares his opinion? How many white dudes in the NFL think Cap is an idiot for his protest? I'd say a very high percent. Just because one guy voices it doesn't mean we should crucify him and his career as a result. Everyone needs to quit being so sensitive. Here's the problem with that argument, though, dude. You can't go out and be racist or be misogynistic and say, don't be so sensitive. I guarantee you, whoever tweeted that, there's something about you that people could talk about that would offend you.
Right.
So everybody has something.
I saw that text.
But it goes back to the same point. We're all entitled to our opinions. I keep saying opinions are like buttholes and we all have them. But when you choose to put it on blast on social media, now it's on you and now you have to deal with the ramifications.
Yeah, and even if you were to have that type of opinion in the public, people notice, people learn to stay away. People don't want to be around or associated with people that have that type of opinion.
But here's the thing. To the texter's point or not point, and to a lot of what these guys are saying, I don't mind if you come out and say you don't think Jessica Mendoza is good. That's fine. That's an opinion. But to just be misogynistic is a whole different thing. That's not an opinion. That's just hating on women. Mm-hmm. And that is not okay to me. Just like you can come out and say you think Kaepernick is an idiot. Okay, that's your opinion.
Right.
But to come out and start saying things that are racially motivated or racially insensitive, that's a whole different level.
It's also not the medium in which you choose to voice your opinion. Yeah. Again, if it's just you in social conversation with people at the house or at the bar, it's one thing.
Right.
But when you do it on a platform like Twitter, social media of any, you know, Facebook, whatever it is, even if you say the opinions are my own, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are being represented by major league teams and are in the entertainment industry, and that's on you, bro, and it's going to come back at you 150 times.
That's true, unless you're Donald Sterling and you got some ratchet hoe recording you and you don't know it. And then,
that's a good point.
And then you're like, what the hell? I just said it in my house. Well,
lost his whole team over.
See?
I thought you were going.
You lost the whole franchise over that.
I thought you were going
ratchet.
Donald Trump at 4 a.m. and then saying. It's kind of hard to say someone tapped into your and hacked your account at 4 a.m., Don. But yeah, same way, either, both ways. And with that, maybe we'll move on. But we'll see. Jonathan out in Montgomery County, you want to chime in on some baseball. What do you got for us?
All right. Well, obviously, we saw the whole thing unfolded yesterday with Madison Bumgarner throwing the four-hit shutout against the New York Mets. And I guess my question to you guys, and I posed this actually 2 years ago when they were going to the World Series. You know, back then, you know, the huge talk was, you know, who was better? Was it Mad Bum or Clayton Kershaw? And I kind of posed the same question to them, and I posed the same question again. You know, I mean, I'm a diehard Houston fan. My second favorite team is the Giants. Mm-hmm. I am just kind of trying to get your opinions on if building a starting rotation. If you would pick Madison Bumgarner as your first or second pick, because I feel like he's one of our pitchers of our generation who he's got. I mean, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer.
I mean, look, you know, it's safe to say that you could pick either guy and not go wrong. I think, and you can say it's easier to say Baumgartner now than it is to say Kershaw, because Kershaw had some injuries in this year and he struggled. But when you need a big game pitcher for one game at any time, Kershaw's in the discussion. You just also know that Baumgartner's record in the postseason and in October is phenomenal, and he's a guy that you, again, wouldn't have any problem handing the ball to and saying, hey, go get me 7, 8, 9 innings, go do your thing. And on the other side of the equation, too, keep in mind what a good stick he is, because he is one of the best hitting pitchers in baseball. Kershaw, you know, he is a pitcher and primarily just a pitcher that, you know, can sacrifice and do some things maybe a time or two. But even last night with Syndergaard, you got two of the best hitting pitchers in baseball, as well as two of the best pitchers, and I think Baumgartner, people forget how good of a hitter he is.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Joel. I think that when you're looking at it, I mean, you're really splitting hairs when you start talking about guys of this caliber. When you're talking about Kershaw and Baumgartner, it's like trying to compare like Ryan and Roger Clemens or some of these guys that, man, it's so close. They're so dominant in their eras. And I think if you're asking me who do I choose, I take Baumgartner because he can hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to divide that line. Yeah, I'll take that ninth bat in the lineup.
And it's lefty versus righty. It's more of the total power pitcher in Kershaw, more of the, I don't want to say finesse for Baumgartner because he can still bring it, but he's more of a, you know, a tactician. But again, you can't go wrong with either guy, and just like you can't go wrong with either guy here. He's Barry, I'm Joel. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel and Barry, until 4, Nick's behind the glass, where he belongs. We've had a good show started where we had some good dialogue going about...
Man, you corny!
I thought Dell was in the studio for a second.
Hey, before we go any further, can I owe someone an apology? Can I do this?
Yes, I want you to do this, but I want you to set it up correctly, because if this was me, you would annihilate me.
I would
me,
be
so
roasting you, yes. Joe. I would. Joel.
I'm I knew that was that coming today. Back
all
to
right,
you.
All right, yeah. We gotta keep that going.
No, we don't.
Anyways... Disco Biscuit has been chiming in several times throughout the day on this topic of Jessica Mendoza and Brooks Marlowe and his stupid tweet. And I've been quoting Disco Biscuit quite a bit. And I've been saying he. Disco Biscuit, he said this, he said that. Well, shame on me because I get a tweet from Disco Biscuit that says, hey, Barry, I'm a lady. And so now I'm an idiot. And there you go. Yeah. So we just need to delete this show and pretend like this didn't happen.
Oh, no, we don't. The only thing we can say is
it happened.
At least he didn't.
Damn it.
Oh, but he did. I was going to say, at least he didn't tweet it, but he did. But the key is he didn't criticize all women.
I didn't criticize all discos or all biscuits.
Exactly.
I didn't.
There you have it.
Yeah, so my bad, Disco Biscuit. I have no idea. Hell, I can't tell you. You're not from your profile picture. I don't know what that is, but nah, I couldn't tell. So that's my bad.
Now he's been trolling.
I just
Disco
made
Biscuit,
assumptions,
which makes it worse.
Yeah, there you go.
Next thing you know, he'll be blocked.
I mean, I could have gone through all your photos, but then that would have been creepy. So,
but he did like the one that you took back around Christmas time last year. He was just
what?
Saying that in the meeting.
No, shut up, Joe.
Oh, Nick,
you are making things up.
I should not have said that on the air, should I?
Now I got to go really see if there's a Christmas photo, and you're going to get me in trouble.
Oh, you know. Oh,
damn it,
you
Joel.
Know with the mistletoe.
I think we know Joel can't be trusted now.
Absolutely, because it takes one to know him. So we were talking about Joe Buck. We were talking about Jessica Mendoza. We were talking about baseball playoffs. We just got done talking about Madison Bumgarner versus Clayton Kershaw, which is a pretty good discussion to have, and you can't lose either way because both guys are extraordinary pitchers. I think the Dodgers would love to have a healthy Clayton Kershaw for the playoffs as they get ready to take on the Nationals, but that remains to be seen. So we've got baseball getting underway in about an hour and 13 minutes, and it's the series that I think most of the people that either you care about baseball as a sport or you just like a certain team will keep an eye on, because Toronto at Texas has the distinct possibility and potential of being a powder keg ready to explode, which is very fun to watch. So we can watch that. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion, Barry. We kind of touched on this yesterday. We brought Keenan in. He was great in the final half hour, Keenan McCardell, to talk about the whole Odell Beckham thing. And now Ray Lewis is chiming in on Odell Beckham and is saying basically that you have to handle him very carefully or it could impact his future in New York, which is kind of like one of those, duh. I mean, you do realize the guy has the ability to leave when his contract runs out. But, I mean, at the same time, everybody has a responsibility, regardless of what team you're on, in how you carry yourself. And Lewis said, you think about how they're handling the situation and how teammates are not stepping up. It's really interesting to me. If you go around and watch people who go through other things and teams who go through other things, you'll find that your teammates will actually defend you and step up for you. So I'm with Brandon Marshall, who went out and said, let Odell be himself and leave him alone, simply because of that. You have to protect your investment. When you think about what Odell is in New York and how big he can be there, he's going to continue to be a great player. He's going to continue to do what he does. He doesn't need extra criticism coming from inside. Your thoughts?
I think if you're going to act like a baby, then you get treated like a baby. And that's what's going on. He's become a distraction on the field. He's become a distraction in the locker room. I think it was, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Tony Dungy. Someone on a post-game show was saying, yeah, it's a problem because now instead of asking about the game, all of his teammates are being asked about him. And now it's about him. He's a distraction.
It's the same way when he says, ever since the Josh Norman episode, I've been labeled the wrong way, and now I'm not having any more fun. Well, guess what? Because you made it not about the game itself. You made it about your antics on the field and off. I think that, you know, it's a fine line. I think that if a player is emotional, especially during the game, right?
Yeah.
During the game itself, on the sideline, he's emotional. He's passionate. Teammates are going to respect that. They're going to say, You know what? I like where his head's at. He's just ticked off because he wants the ball and he wants to win. When it carries over into the locker room and after plays, and especially if those plays subsequently result in penalties, which cost the team,
yep.
Now you're starting to get into the craw of the guys that make a difference in terms of the overall unit known as your teammates. And that's when it could be affected. And also what I said to Keenan yesterday, it definitely has to play into it. You've got a young head coach in Ben McAdoo, not an established head coach. He's trying to establish himself with his team, and this is not helping because no. whatever he said, and he said publicly about we got to reel him in and he's got to let, and then he just fights that, it just fights all of the credibility that he has as a head coach and a leader.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. You're undermining what he's trying to do in building that organization and trying to build the trust between himself and his team. And then, I mean, you think about it, like guys like Dez Bryant, when they would go through this type of thing, what would you inevitably end up seeing? Him fighting with a teammate on the sidelines during a game. It becomes a distraction. So whether you're getting penalties or you're, you know, throwing over kicking nets and losing that battle, and then you're, but it's all about you and it's not about the team or the direction the team is going.
And it's interesting you bring up Dez Bryant, because Dez Bryant, now the rumors are out there that he's been late and or missed like something like 40 some meetings.
Oh yeah.
That I think is even more offensive to teammates than anything that OBJ is doing, because OBJ is doing it again with, at least the way I read it, as a passion towards wanting the ball and making a difference for his team to win games. But if you are literally missing and or late for meetings that everybody else is expected to be on time for, you are disrespecting your team. That's where it can be a huge distraction, a huge problem, and you know that will backfire with something in the locker room more times than not, because you're offending guys that you go to work with every day.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind of backlash, most likely the public doesn't see because it's handled within the locker right. room, so to speak. But I think that, yeah, in the case of OBJ, he's, and I don't even know that I necessarily agree with the fact that he's upset because he's not getting the ball. I think he's upset because he can't get the ball, because he's being taken out of plays, he's being shoved out of bounds, and it's causing him to emotionally lose it on the field, and I don't think it has anything to do with just not getting the ball thrown his way or making the catches. I think it's more of he's throwing a hissy fit because he's getting the opposing defenses are getting the better of him.
And I would say, that's if you silly. Want both ends of the spectrum,
yeah.
If OBJ is on the far right, then on the left side you got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
Same kind of situation that you're just talking about. Just give the defense credit for their double teams and their extra attention to that position and that player.
Yeah,
preventing them from getting the ball. But he's handled it with class. Obviously, guys in that locker room, and Nick, you're in that locker room after games, and you know, regardless of what he shows with his body language or what's on his face, what he says publicly is, hey, I'm all about the W, I'm all about the team, you know, next week's another week, those kind of things. But he's handling it the right way.
Yeah.
If you handle it the right way, all you do is gain more credibility with your teammates and the media and everybody else who tip their cap and say props to you for taking a tough situation and making the most of it by handling it correctly. OBJ, on the other hand, you start getting people that, to basically, in some regards, saying what he's saying, but it's his own fault, but they're going to start then criticizing and picking apart, is he a little baby? Is he a little child? Has he not matured? You know, he's got endorsements. Are those going to be affected by all this? And people are scrutinizing him for the wrong things. At the end of the day, his talent is unreal. But sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for. After he makes the one-handed play catch on Sunday Night Football, Collinsworth calls it the greatest catch he's ever seen. People know that the OBJ star is going to explode, and it does. Well, with the star explosion comes a lot more scrutiny and a lot more attention, and that's why these things get blown up even more, and that can blow up in your face.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing to me about all this that's going on is that he, at some point, you have to be able to objectively look at what's happening to you, right? Like, he doesn't, I don't know, maybe he doesn't read the paper or watch the television, but how is he going through all this and not seeing that, wow, I really look like an idiot?
Yeah.
Like, I'm they're showing me on SportsCenter crying. They're showing me losing a fight to a kicking net. I'm pitching a fit. I'm whining in the postgame interviews. He's trying to keep his cool. He's like, well, it's just my fault. You know, if I tie my shoelaces wrong. No, you should have just stopped that. It's my fault. Don't try to prep. It's one of those I'm sorry buts.
Yeah.
Just don't do that.
And you know, as much attention he's gotten over, you know, in his short career, I think it's still overwhelming to him, you know, and I think a lot of people don't know how to react to that, you know. And
I also think it's a lie when all players say, I don't follow the media, I don't listen to what watch. Look, if you're a sports fan at all and you see SportsCenter, you know what's on the bottom line, you know what people are talking about. I don't think you're gonna go, la, 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 like that. I don't hear you, and turn it off every time they see it when it's covering your sport. So that's a lie, and you know that they're covering you. But I do know that in Green Bay this week that they've gone on Amazon and they're trying to get the Rock'em Sock'em robot version of the kicking net because they're hoping that they can knock him out one way or another and make sure that he doesn't hurt the Packers this week. That's all I'm saying. And with that, hey, we got much more on the show. Halfway there and half in the books. We got more.
Hey, can we do Raheel's stupid things next?
Sure, if you'd like.
I want to hear these. I want to play these for the people.
For those of you that aren't loyal listeners, first of all, why? And second of all, the ones that were listening yesterday, people having problems with the streaming, and by the way, of course, everyone here says it's not our fault, but they fixed it.
Yep.
Raheel and his plethora of...
Were they tips?
Bone collect... Well, you said tips. His plethora of different variations in spots seem to be popping up, so to speak, in the middle of actual segments of our show, which we don't like. But we'll give you samples of what you're missing if you're not downloading the app. And you should. ESPN 97.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack on a Thursday afternoon. Nick Shira behind the glass. Half of the books have to go as we get on with this three-hour show. And before the break, we wanted to get back to what we talked about yesterday. The fact that life spots are very important in this world. And that our leading spokesperson for life spots and life lessons is Raheel. And Raheel has been interrupting the listening pleasure of the people that have the ESPN 975 app and want to just intently listen to shows like our own. And basically, we were getting messages yesterday that people were having their segments of the actual show interrupted by life spots from Raheel. And so a lot of the regular listeners on radio had no idea what we were talking about. So Barry had said that we were going to stay true to our word and give you some samples of what these spots sound like.
Well, not only are they interrupting the shows that are on air, but I think the majority of the people that listen on the app are hating on these. Like I've seen a lot of texts come in. I've seen a lot of tweets. And I didn't know, I've not heard one, so that's why I wanted to get some of these, and we can all kind of judge, are these good or bad, or why is everyone hating on them? So let's play one.
And now, life advice with Raheel.
When your gas tank is on empty, be sure to fill it up with gas.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
It's like Stuart Smalley.
That was very intelligent. What else would you fill it
and
up
now,
with?
Now, life advice with Raheel.
When taking cash out of the ATM, be sure to cover the PIN pad with your offhand when you put in your secure PIN.
All right, now the only problem I have with that is Witcher. Witcher offhand?
I heard that.
Really?
But I also know, and you also know, what he does with his offhand. So.
And now, life advice with Raheel.
When buying milk at the grocery store, make sure the milk isn't expired.
I don't understand what's wrong with these. These are genius. First of all, would you put something other than gas in your tank? Would you take out more money than you had? And would you buy expired milk? If not, then I don't think Raheel is getting the credit that he deserves by leading the community in the way that he does.
And gosh darn it, he's okay.
Witcher.
Because
now that's the problem.
He is much like Stuart Smalley. Now I say Smalley? I you haven't heard the
I don't know who that is.
That's the Saturday Night Live skit with the guy that looks in the mirror, the blonde guy.
Oh, I'm good enough?
Yeah.
That does kind of sound like it.
That's what the music sounds like. Yeah. Like, gosh darn it, I'm good enough. But on top of that, you look at the other spots Raheel does. That's what makes this bad. These spots by themselves are okay, but then you take it to another level. Then it's all about the bone, because then you're either talking about man's best friend or the fact that
the man
you may have low T.
Yeah.
So
I think I do, actually.
I don't need to know that.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Like, I think I just threw up in the back of my mouth.
No, because
well,
I'm so.
It starts to go down after 30.
I'm 42.
You're talking about his testosterone?
Yeah,
or
my low T. My
He just said it starts to go down. I'm like, hey. Yeah.
What do you mean there, buddy?
Yeah, Nick. What are you trying to do?
That part still works. I'm just saying, like, I think I might have low T because I'm so lethargic and I got to take a nap in the middle of the day. Like, when we finish, I'm so exhausted from this show that I have to go home and take a nap before I can get up and eat dinner and watch TV.
And only to get ready to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
it
I'm dealing with.
It may be more than low T that you're dealing with,
depression?
Sir.
You think there's a little bit of depression there?
There might be some things going on.
Well.
When your idea of running is either getting to the fridge and back, the mailbox and back, or the bathroom and back.
Oh, I would never run to the mailbox.
See, there's
back.
A problem.
I have a big yard, though. We have a circle
Thank
drive.
Thank God you said yard. I didn't know where we were going after that.
I have to take the truck down to the mailbox. There's no way.
Wow.
I'm not, uh-uh.
I do think, the same thing, though. I'm not walking to my mailbox.
I need to get on this whole low-T testing thing. I need to
Well, you know the right people to talk to, because Raheem and AJ have that really heart-to-heart, man-to-man conversation on air in that commercial.
The Man Center.
And they let you know that they can get your levels up.
Have you ever bought spoiled milk?
No.
Then Raheem was right. I don't know why people are hating. Right? There you go.
In a nutshell. There you go.
Somebody, Ben Herbs, Herbie Hancock 06 on Twitter said that the Life commercials are hilarious.
They're
poignant. I wouldn't necessarily say hilarious. I did go to Michael Carroll and said, hey, man, if you guys need some help.
But Dr. Dre on 290, excuse me, but he on the opposite side said, the spots are great, but my fave is the water and deodorant blast. But then El Jefe chimes in, it's okay, but like every 5 minutes, it's the same three over and over. Well, so maybe variety makes the spice of life.
They needed to go back to Philpott's pickup lines. Those were good. I did hear those a couple times.
And that dude is like Rico Suave.
Yeah.
Philpott got some just smoothness. Pulls, man. He just pulls.
Yeah.
He is that dude. And Nick, if you hung out with Philpott more, you would not be single anymore.
Did you know he meets most of his chicks on blackpeoplemeet.com?
We've accomplished that a long time ago. Yep.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's cool.
That's game.
You established it or accomplished it? Because if you accomplished it, you wouldn't be in the predicament you're in now. Okay. If you established that that's true, it's different.
Okay.
Now you're mad at me and you're shaking your head and now you won't talk to me the rest of the show.
I don't fight.
I see you like the reverse bobblehead. Now you're shaking at me like you're all ticked off. That's fine.
Uh-oh, look, we got somebody calling in on the real spots. I knew this. I know. I have my pulse on the finger of this city.
I don't know where that finger's been. I do pretty much guess that it's clean, but also I want to make sure that everybody knows that our microphones definitely have mic guards, because the way he's emphasizing those P's, I mean, it is a say it and spray it moment when he gets passionate.
Do you clean these when you use them?
I
do.
I don't think anybody does.
I clean mine. Not every time, but I'll. Once I can start smelling
it. Granado uses this one, and I'm telling you what. Oh, it smells,
I bet that just smells like spaghetti sauce.
And coffee. Hey, Chris, you want to chime in? Welcome to the show. What do you got, my man?
How's it going, fellas?
What's up, man?
What I was going to say is I have the stream on my desk like all day.
Smart man.
So what it sounds like is they're running a bit like endorsing you guys, and it's something that happened maybe 2 weeks ago that y'all are talking about, and then it cuts straight into the Raheel stuff. It's not like, hey, listen to Joel or anything like that. It just cuts straight into something else.
Like in the middle of our show?
Yeah, I've heard like right in the middle, like you and I could be talking.
The middle of the show, it's an actual commercial.
Yeah, like
and
you
these are coming in, and then a snippet of y'all's show from like 2 weeks ago cuts through. And then the Raheel stuff will just kill it out. Like,
now, Chris, let me give you...
Listen to Joel.
Well, and Barry. Listen to Barry.
No, Chris, you're right. You had it right the first time. But, Chris, let me give you a little insight, because you may be the guy that uncovers what truly is happening here. Okay?
Here's
here is the maybe planned glitch that is causing all of this for all you people.
Oh.
Raheel...
Listen to me,
Chris.
I see where you're going with this, Joel.
Raheel...
You're a smart man.
Is actually also, when he's not on the air, he is the IT specialist in the office. So therefore, he has control and knows the codes and passwords to handle the app.
He's cutting off our promos is what you're saying.
He's sabotaging it for more attention for himself.
What a hater.
We have now uncovered and gotten to the bottom of this entire travesty for those that you have that.
Detective Joel.
Yeah, so
well, with slot, Private Eye Chris. Chris, you should not be a stranger to the show, because you have just uncovered one of the most asked questions in the station and around Houston. We have now figured out. Next, Chris, I want you to concentrate on the Loch Ness Monster. But for now, we have uncovered one of the great mysteries in Houston radio. It is Raheel's fault. He is soaking up our spotlight during our time because of his...
Yeah. Good job, Chris. You know what, Joe? You make a pretty good private dick yourself.
And I was going to say, speaking of that, because of the fact that he goes to the man center and he is spot on with his bone, he was jonesing for more time than he gets with John and decided to interrupt our...
That's it.
Our stream.
He's jealous. We got 3 hours. He gets two.
Yeah, and now Barry's
hater in the house.
And see, and when we talk about streams, that's what Barry's trying to get
better
at.
That's what I need to get, yeah.
So
my stream is not functioning right.
And when the school starts swimming upstream, now you know you're back where you belong.
You're on your own.
But you're back where you belong right now because you're listening to us until 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel and Barry till 4 with Nick behind the glass, and we've been having some fun on a Thursday afternoon. We haven't really talked football at all, and that's surprising for us, but we have been knee-deep in some fun and games, shenanigans with Raheel. Talking about the controversy about Jess Mendoza doing ESPN games, baseball games, the baseball playoffs, the great play-in wild card games. Now that the series, we will do our predictions at some point, but now that those series are set and they are set to get underway in 45 minutes with the Blue Jays at the Rangers, which if you're a sports fan and a baseball fan could be must-see TV because there might be some extracurriculars that happened throughout that series. That should be fun to watch. And then tonight, Boston against their old manager, Terry Francona, as the Red Sox take on the Indians. And then tomorrow, you will have you will have the Giants and the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Nationals. And that will wrap up the eight teams still alive in Major League Baseball.
You know, it's funny. I feel like the Nationals aren't getting much run. I hear everyone talking about, it seems like, every other team but the Nationals.
You know, I think if Strasburg was healthy, I think it might be a different discussion. But again, that also is a bigger discussion because if you look at all the guys over the years that had pitch counts, and Strasburg was the most scrutinized because of the fact that he had this million-dollar arm and they wanted to protect him. And, you know, he was on that pitch count when the team got made to the playoffs and they wouldn't let him pitch. And then, lo and behold, he gets hurt. Jabba Chamberlain, same thing. They had him on a pitch count. They wanted him to, you know, to minimize the amount of innings. Still blew his arm out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it behooves you to ask the question, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway. So, especially when you were the Nationals, you know, a year or so ago, when you had a legitimate shot and he was healthy and you held him out, and now you got a legitimate shot and he's hurt.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, the Nationals have been a strong, strong team. And offensively, they got a really good lineup. But pitching and Scherzer is tough. I saw a stat, I think, last night. Scherzer, all games with the Tigers in postseason play is like 0-3.
Ooh.
And that's crazy to me because of the fact that he's got such nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I tell you what, that's a great series. Dodgers and Nationals could go down to the final game easily, and either one of those teams is capable of winning the World Series.
Now, what do you think the odds or the chances are of San Francisco doing it again on an even year?
10, 12, and 14 they've won it?
Yeah, and so this would make the fourth time on an even year in a row that they've won it. And going into it, I was like, I don't know. But when you saw them play last night, getting help from guys that you didn't expect them to be heroes offensively. I mean, we all knew what Bumgarner was going to do or how well he would perform. But it let you know, I mean, Hunter Pence really wasn't a factor in the game at all. Posey wasn't a factor. There's a chance that these guys couldn't make a run.
Look, the bottom line is you can't win it unless you're in it.
Yeah.
And again, they're in it. And it's like the Spurs back in the day had the same kind of every other year record.
Right.
But it's the same thing with the Giants. I mean, in 10, 12, and 2014, they won the World Series. It's 2016, gang. It could be the Giants' year yet again. Although, I don't know if they have all the elements. I don't know that lineup scares anybody with the exception of Posey.
I was going to say, certainly offensively, they're not a juggernaut. They're not the Cubs. They're not right. scaring anybody from 1 through 9 or 1 through, well, maybe 9 in that regard in Bumgarner. But right. 1 through 8, they're not, nobody's is quaking in their boots. But when you can run out Bumgarner and Cueto in a 5-game series or a 7-game series, that's scary.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is Cueto's the kind of guy, like, he's old school like Louis Tiant, where he'll just change up the tempo and rhythm of his delivery. Just stop in the middle of his delivery, and the hitter's like, you know, those guys that like to really get the timing on the front foot is like, whoa, hey now, where'd that come from? And he can throw hitters off consistently from top to bottom of the lineup. I like what he brings to the table, and he helps them. But, you know, you got a lot of guys that could help and should help but aren't there for the Giants, so that hurts them.
Yep.
But legitimately, when you look at it up and down, it's wide open. I mean, there's no, obviously the Cubs are supposed to be the clear-cut favorite, but again, they're the Cubs, so because they're the clear-cut favorite, people expect that they're going to trip and fall, and they may slip up. And as I mentioned, during the regular season, the Giants had a better record against the Cubs and won the season series, so that, if all things being equal, says you could give the Giants the advantage. However, because they had to play the wild card and they used their best weapon in Baumgartner, it changes things a little bit.
And see, that's what I was saying when we were talking the other day about 1-game wild card versus a 3-game wild card game. I mean, this already, just the 1 game has really screwed up their rotation. Now, instead of starting with Lester versus Baumgartner, they've got to send out Johnny Cueto, which, you know, all things considered, that's not a horrible thing. It could be worse. But now that means that you may have to pitch Baumgartner on short rest if he goes to a game 5.
Yeah, and the other thing is you don't see him as much in the series, because otherwise there was the chance that you would see him in 1, 5, and 7 or in some regard 3 times in the series. Now, because he threw a complete game last night, you're right. The earliest you probably see him is like game 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, and some people were saying he may make a relief appearance, but if he makes a relief appearance, now he's set back even further.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the lineups, right, or the matchups from the link I have on CBS Sports, it's got Lester versus Cueto in Game 1, Hendricks versus to be announced in Game 2, Baumgartner versus Arrieta in Game 3, which is going to be an awesome
game.
Huge. And Game 4 is to be announced versus John Lackey. In Game 5, they haven't named either of the starters. But if you just go by 5 days rest, which I know it's the playoffs, so you maybe go on right. 4. But if Johnny Cueto pitches on the 11th against Lackey, that's on 4 days rest if he pitches on the 7th. Yep. So then that means Bumgarner's got to go on the 13th. That would give him only 4 days or 3 days rest. If you're going to pitch him again, how would you like to go against the Cubs and you only get to throw Baumgartner 1 time?
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, he will come back on short rest, and he did it, you know, previously in the playoffs on 3 days rest and whenever needed, and he's proven that he is a big-game pitcher, so you got that going for you. On the flip side in that series, the thing that really is mesmerizing to me is starting John Lester in Game 1.
Yeah.
When you got the potential Cy Young Award winner in the National League in Game 2, and you got a guy that's just arguably the best up-and-coming arm in baseball in Arrieta, and you're not using him until Game 3?
Yeah.
And Lester's been okay. He's been backed up by a lot of offense, but I just think with those other two guys, I don't know how Lester gets the ball in Game 1, and that's something that Joe Maddon, who is known to be a genius with tinkering, but that's one where I think it might come back and bite him.
Yeah, I'm curious, and I admit I maybe didn't do enough homework, but what is the reason that Arrieta isn't pitching until Game 3?
He didn't
really
say.
That would mean he would only be pitching 1 time in the series, just like Baumgartner, which if I'm the Cubs, and maybe he pitched in the last game of the regular season, I don't know, but surely it's been enough games anyways where he could go out and start Game 1 and start Game 5 to where you would think that he would at least be seen if it goes to a 5-game series. Because as it is, both of those guys, Baumgartner and Arrieta, only pitch 1 time in a 5-game series.
I just don't get it. And that's why it was so mesmerizing to me when I saw Maddon announce his starters for the series, because I'm like, this is a guy that can dominate anybody at any time, and you want him out there as much as possible. Yes, John Lester's been in some big games, but he's definitely not the John Lester of his Red Sox days.
No.
And so I understand you want experience on the mound, but experience in Game 3 is just as important as Game 1. But when you got the dominance of an Arrieta, I just think he needed to be 1 or 2.
I'd agree. I don't understand what maybe there's something we missed or didn't see.
I guess so.
In some pregame, you know, interview that he did, but that just strikes me as odd.
So you want to go, you want to start picking him?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, so let's start with the big series that everybody's talking about, Toronto and Texas. Toronto won it last year, obviously, on the Joey Bautista home run.
Yeah.
Texas, a lot of people are saying not only did they get the best of the Astros, but they are favored to win the World Series, or at least get there in the American League. You want to go first?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I hate to just kind of blow this out of the water like this, but I already, at the beginning of the season, I had two teams facing off in the World Series, and both of them are in the playoffs now.
So good for you.
It's not going to change my picks. So in this case, Toronto versus Texas, I'm going to go Texas.
Yeah, and hey, by the way, Vegas Dave, look out, because Vegas Dave, who we have on Fridays,
yeah,
and Nick loves him some Vegas Dave. Vegas Dave on Fridays has picked the World Series participants and winner, I think, in the last 3 years, right before the season started.
Nice.
So now that Barry has predicted the two teams that are in the playoffs that he predicted to be in the World Series, Nick, Vegas Barry may be the guy that we have on Fridays. Actually, because he is doing exactly what Vegas Dave does.
Can we go Reno Barry?
I like Reno Barry.
Yeah, Reno Barry.
I know what that. I like? I like LeBerge Barry. Oh, I like LeBerge. Or LeBerry.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we could do LeBerry.
I'm good with either of those.
You'll roll with LeBerry?
Yeah, LeBerry's
if
all
he's
right.
got to go Joel, I don't I can have certainly to go Joel, LeBerry.
By the way, Joel? But he's going LeBerry. Because then for that, I would go LeBerge.
I like Joel.
So whatever you want. Whatever makes you feel good, you just say it.
I can't say that on the air. But anyway, I will say this.
Touche.
And Nick, you can chime in on this. We'll get this first series out of the way. I hate the Rangers. I really do, for a lot of reasons. But it's all about it's about pitching, too. But because I hate the Rangers so much, I'll take the Blue Jays. Are you even capable of taking the series?
Wait, so you're not even picking it on you think
like
is the better team?
Bat.
It's just emotion?
I like Bautista. I like Encarnacion. I like the fact Donaldson. I like the guys that I don't believe in the Rangers starting pitching, so I'm going to take Toronto.
I just want to see another bat flip.
And I don't want to see a bat flip. I want to see a fight. I like them. I watch hockey for them, Rangers, and I will watch this series for that very, very reason.
Rangers, the best team in the AL at home, best in one-run games, and comeback wins.
But put them on the road.
Put them on the road, but that to me,
I get all
those
that,
three
but that's
things
the regular
mean
season.
A lot.
They do, but that's
those
the regular
three things
season.
Mean a lot.
I worry about the back of their pen, and I worry about their starting pitching. But I don't worry about Odor in a one-round fight with a haymaker to throw because I'm betting on him. That's all I'll say. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.